Hey everybody, welcome back to Project 44 on November 1st, All Saints Day, as we read some snippets from three of the great saints, Matthew, Mark, and John, and some passages that all have one thing in common, that they're all about bread. That's the theme of today, bread, bread, and more bread. Rye bread, white bread, Vienna bread, wheat bread, all kinds of bread today. Jesus multiplies bread, he calls himself bread, he warns them about the yeast, and they tell him that they have to eat him in order to live. Now there's a shocker of a statement. When Jesus goes ahead and feeds the multitude, 5,000 people gathered together, and these 5,000 people are hungry, so Jesus says, let's go ahead and feed them. As he does this miracle, he looks back to the expectations that Jewish people would have of him, even if they may not have known it. For instance, in Elisha. Elisha is somebody who multiplied bread earlier on. Elisha, as a matter of fact, multiplies bread, heals people, and brings resurrections, just like Jesus did. Jesus is fulfilling a type of Messiah in Elisha. In addition to that, we know that there was something awesome about this miracle because it would remind the people of the bread of heaven. That is the manna that they had in the wilderness that God provided through Moses. Bread of heaven, Jesus came from heaven, he's starting to click some things together. Now there is something that's awesome about this multiplication miracle. I mean, most miracles with Jesus were kind of one-on-one, Jesus was another person, but this time there were about 5,000 people that were involved with the miracle. They witnessed it. They participated in it. Hungry people were fed. Disciples were mystified. Faith was grown. And Jesus used this meager offering of a little boy to change the entire scene. And if that wasn't enough, there was this deeper symbolism. Elisha, the bread from heaven, the manna. John tells us that this whole deal also happened during the Passover. Now, the Feast of Passover, and the one that was matched with it right afterwards, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, were clear symbols of the rescuing power of God to save people from slavery. So the manna from heaven was, in Exodus, was God's provision to feed the people. So here we have Jesus being from heaven, claiming to be God, claiming to be the bread of life, being a provision for his people. Is he symbolically claiming that he is, in fact, the rescue of God? Is he symbolically claiming that he is the provision of God? You better believe he is. That's exactly what's happening in this passage. The miracle that Jesus does gives credibility to the claim that he is the bread of life. Now, interestingly, the people want to make Jesus their king after all of this. I mean, who wouldn't want to? Jesus comes on the scene, he feeds them, and they get that he's the king, he's claiming that he's from heaven, he's the Messiah, he's the king. Well, let's just get behind him and take over all the political forces by force. Let's put him in a position of authority. But what they didn't realize is that Jesus already has all the authority. That's why he can do all of these miracles. Jesus didn't need them to make him a king. He already was the king of the universe. And so he winds up going off into the wilderness with his disciples in order to get away from the people because their idea of kingship is just so wrong. It's just so wrong. Well, John tells us also that 12 basketfuls of leftovers were collected after the meal. And he notes this mood and this mindset of the people who want to take him over by force. But their idea of kingship is so different than Jesus that Jesus goes away. All right, how about a little application for you? This is the question. Are you depending on Jesus as the bread of God, as the bread of life? I mean, Jesus says, this is the theme of Project 44, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Word that's made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus says that he is the bread of life. When it comes to your life, do you consider the Word of God and Jesus necessary to your very survival? Because man does not live on bread alone, but also on the Word that comes from God. Well, Let me continue on just a little bit on this theme. Jesus' words about the bread of life created a huge uproar because his hearers were unable to discern the spiritual meaning of his words and thought that he was talking about some kind of cannibalism. I mean, Jesus walked around saying, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me." And most of the people listened to him and said, "That is so gross." In John it says, people said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can take it?" And so many people left him, but not Jesus, or but not his disciples. His disciples continued to follow him. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Now, interestingly, a lot of churches have developed doctrine around this quote. And they've said that in the communion element, when the priest blesses the food, when the priest says, you know, prays over it, that it actually transforms, it transmutates, and it becomes the flesh and blood of Jesus. And that, in fact, you have to ingest this blessed communion in order to receive God's grace. Our church teaches very differently than that. The idea here is that the blood and the bread that we take together on Communion Sunday is a symbol of what Jesus is. It's not literally who Jesus is, but that symbolically we take Christ in because we need to be people who are in Christ. Symbolically, we remember that Jesus was brutalized on our behalf. Symbolically, we remind that his body was broken. And when the bread is broken, it reminds us of the broken body of the one who was the bread of life. We remember Jesus as our sustenance every time we take communion. This is the symbol that helps us to remember him. And I hope that every time you take communion from this point forward, you remember that Jesus is, in fact, the bread of life.